This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark and Roshan Karnison. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday the 15th of December. And how are you today, Roshan?
I am doing good, Lynn. I'm doing much better than I was 24 hours ago when I was still reeling from the shock loss that Arsenal faced. But for football fans, a bit of other news this morning. the former Liverpool manager, the one who led them to the treble cup win, for those who remember, in 2001, Gerard Houllier has passed away, sadly, which is quite sad because just a few, if I was reading some of the reports, Jamie Carragher, former Liverpool captain, had just invited him over to Liverpool to, I think, maybe celebrate the fact that they won the league. So to all the Liverpool fans, which is a big portion of Malaysians, my condolences to all of you.
Absolutely. Definitely a sad situation to lose someone who's so important to a football club.
I think for an Arsenal fan, it would be like losing Arsene Wenger, or for a United fan, like Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, and I think yesterday we also did get news partway through the show that the author, John Le Carré, had also passed away. And he's the author of Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, as well as numerous other very famous spy novels. I noticed that there were a lot of obituaries on The Guardian and The New York Times. And it's one of those times where it's one of those issues where you look at it and say that's the end of an era.
Yeah, I mean, and that's always the thing, right? It's always the connection you have with these personalities who were at one point larger than life, whether it was in the stories that you read, or the sports that you consume, or the movies, or the music that you listen to, the movies that you watch and the music that you listen to.
It's too early in the morning.
For all this. But anyway, we've got a great show lined up for you, as we always do here on BFM 89.9. Towards the end of the hour, we're going to be talking about the local papers and portals. And Lynn, I am seeing Dr. Mahathir's face on almost all the papers here. And basically, today is that last day of Parliament where the budget will face its final trial. So we'll get into a little bit of that, I think, as well as a look at the headlines around the world, including the fact that the Electoral College has finally, I think, solidified Joe Biden's win as president, as well as some vaccine news and rollout.
Yes, and a little bit closer to home, we are going to be asking you whether you would take a chance for a fresh start, whether that means changing your name or something else entirely. So if you want to weigh in on the conversations, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, though, we are asking you, how reliant are you on the Google ecosystem, considering the shutdown that happened yesterday evening? Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was I Melt With You by Modern English, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Roshan. So I don't know about you, but I was caught up a little bit yesterday evening in all the drama of the Google shutdown, because all of a sudden, you know, I was, I think, doing some work at about 7:45, 8 o'clock in the evening, and then I got booted off my breakfast grill document, and quite unceremoniously, alongside several of my colleagues who immediately started like, you know, WhatsApping and saying, hey, you know, what's going on? Why are all the Google Drives not working? Why is YouTube not working? What's happening? Because there was a massive Google crash yesterday evening our time. And Twitter also exploded, talking about which of Google's apps were affected. Apparently Maps was affected. The Google Play Store was affected. And it just felt like everything ground to a very unceremonious halt. And it makes you think about the fact that we're actually really, really reliant on the Google ecosystem for a lot of the work and the entertainment we get.
We're reliant on a lot of ecosystems, right? The big tech companies of the world, and a lot of companies, not just big tech, have built walled gardens, right? They want you to hang out in the walled garden, you know, use our products, use this other product that we own, and use this other product that you can also get within the repertoire of what we have. So whether it's Apple or Microsoft or Google, these are the big three, the Amazons of the world, they all have built out ecosystems for you to stay in because, well, it makes money for them. They don't ever want you to feel the way you felt yesterday, which is why they've spent a lot of money on their own private undersea cables, on data centers, all these sort of things. So yesterday was a big boo-boo for Google. The fact that we're talking about 45 minutes. For us, it's the evening. But for the US, I mean, yes, Pacific time, it was around Pacific time is around 3:45, but for Eastern New York, it's about 6:45 a.m. I think
people that would have been just maybe starting work.
Just getting to work, right? So, and you've got a lot of the SME industry and the that uses the UL ecosystem, which would have been a big shock to them. But if you start work at 8 o'clock, then you probably would have been okay 8 a.m. on the eastern side of the U.S. But again, I think this shows the concerns. And you know, if you look back like 3-4 years ago, these outages, actually, if I remember correctly, used to happen more often. It used to be a case where, oh no, the dock isn't working, what are we doing? Okay, print screen everything, you know, and save it as a PDF. I remember those. And I had forgotten all about that until yesterday evening. They've done such a good job at making everything so seamless that I've forgotten about that. The only time I faced a outage in the last year has probably been when Netflix was down. That's really it. And when it comes to Netflix, I'm not too bothered if Netflix is down because it doesn't affect my productivity, right?
Yeah.
Especially after the year we've had with the reliance on Zoom and virtual calls and Google Meets and all the like. This is going to be a very important reminder to everyone that things like this can happen.
Yeah, I've seen Twitter outages, multiple Twitter outages of servers at other websites that I frequent, and they never affected me as much as Google's did yesterday, because I'm the kind of person that I have a YouTube video playing in the background, right? I have multiple Google Drive documents open at any one time, and I couldn't use anything. I couldn't access my calendar. I couldn't access my email. And for about 20 minutes, I just remember sitting there at my dining table thinking, I have no idea what to do now. Should I just go to sleep? You know, it's 8 o'clock in the evening, technically bedtime for me, but you know, what else can I would ordinarily be working for another hour. What am I going to do?
Think about it like a power outage. I mean, that happens.
Yeah, you know, that's what it felt like, an internet or a Wi-Fi outage, right? But then with Wi-Fi and internet, usually you can find a workaround. I would either head over to someone else's house, use your phone data for a short while, go to a cafe, you know, with the free Wi-Fi. But I couldn't do that because Google was down.
Yeah.
I felt really helpless, actually.
I would like to see how, let's say, like Microsoft and Apple react to this. You know, whether they make any, you know, tech companies aren't above making snide remarks or little sarcastic comments here and there in their own little marketing. So I wonder if that's going to be the case, because the other big player when it comes to cloud services and all of that productivity is Microsoft. They're a massive player in the field. Mm-hmm. AWS is very big as well. Let's not get that wrong. But they're the underlying infrastructure of the internet. Whereas Microsoft with Office and the and what used to be Hotmail, which is now, I don't know what it's called now. Is it Live Mail? It's they also have an email service.
I think it's Live, just Live.
It's something. It's Microsoft account. But let's just call it the Microsoft account.
Sorry, just completely bought into the Google ecosystem.
Yeah, so. And the Xbox ecosystems that they have. Everyone has this kind of reliance. So I'm going to wonder how they're going to, because Xbox has had had outages in the past. But I've never heard of the Microsoft ecosystem itself going down. But then again, we're not active users of it. So if you've faced any of these technical issues before, you should let us know. Then we can give equal say to both Google and Microsoft, because they so care what we say here in Malaysia.
Absolutely. I mean, but then, you know, we should always strive for some kind of a multiple sides, right? But I mean, the other thing the question that this raised was, particularly in this time, right, when we're a lot of us working from home, a lot of us would be relying on Hangouts and Meets for us to communicate with our, not just our co-workers, but our families. If this, you know, in this day and age, does this kind of an outage hit us harder? I think it does. But going forward, is this reliance still going to continue, as, you know, because we are seeing vaccines starting to crop up around the world, emergency use vaccines are starting to come in. And I believe the estimate for Malaysia is that we will get some kind of a vaccine candidate by March, which is not that long away anymore. So what's going to happen to the reliance and the investment that has gone into all of these tech companies once that happens?
I don't think anything's going to really happen to any of the big tech companies. Maybe Zoom's activity may go down unless they add more services, add more products and services to their what they're doing. But Microsoft, Google, Apple, they've all got their entrenched ecosystems and will continue to entrench people into the ecosystem and monetize that. I don't see that going away. Even when we go to work, you have to just ask yourself, what software do you use at work, right? So I guess the question really is how, what kind of business continuity practices are you keeping in mind if the system fails, right? This is something that I guess now we have to be paying attention to as well.
So one of our producers, Sim, has just let us know that Microsoft was also down in the UK a few days ago. So this was Office 365, Microsoft Teams, and even OneDrive, which I can imagine would be quite dire for a lot of companies. So let us know whether you've been affected by these outages in the past and how you felt about it. WhatsApp us 01878988899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages coming up for you, and then we're taking a look at the subject of a fresh start. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Lonely Boy by The Black Keys, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Roshan. 6:19 a.m. Tuesday, the 15th of December.
Are you trying to take us back in time and make us live a longer week, Lynn?
Well, you know what? What's wrong with that? Anyway.
Is this some kind of superstition you have to call Tuesdays or Mondays?
Well, no, but you know what? Speaking of superstitions, that's what we're talking about next. Because this is an article in BBC Work Life talking about cultural traditions, right? And in China, something that that even I've heard of, admittedly, is how changing a name can improve your fortune, right? And I think in this time when everybody is concerned about, you know, the future of their work and where their next paycheck is coming from, a lot of people, when you're in a tough spot, superstition does rear its head, right? And so it looks at people who have changed their names for a fresh start, so they could have a kind of a fresh injection of luck, I guess. And it's interesting because I also read an article recently, I think it was also in the BBC, about the concept of Johatsu in Japan. And Johatsu literally means the evaporated ones. So it's people...
Sorry, what?
The evaporated ones, yes. So it's people who abandon their lives at the drop of a hat to have a fresh start.
When you said evaporated ones, I immediately started thinking about
Thanos and the snap. I knew you were going to, yes.
And like people getting dusted off. but yeah, I mean... It's not just Chinese culture. I'm pretty sure a lot of Asian cultures have a lot of superstitions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know for a fact that it definitely the subset of Indian cultures as well have a lot of emphasis on astrology and names and things like that. In fact, I know my cousin has an extra E in his name because of numerology. I know my sister has an extra E in her name because of numerology. My name was supposed to be something else, but it became Roshan because...
I'm now trying to imagine where an extra E would go into your name, and I just can't
do
it.
No. For me, it wouldn't have been an E. Maybe it would have been an extra A, maybe?
Roshan.
Yeah, something like that, yes. Right? In fact, or maybe a more capitalized O, because the actual pronunciation of my name is Roshan, right? But no one can ever pronounce that. And I also don't pronounce it. I was never thought to pronounce it that way. But anyway, yeah. So superstitions, our practices or rituals are so ingrained in our various cultures, right? Especially in Asian cultures. And they have I like to think of myself as modern and progressive and things like that. But I mean, I follow a lot of rituals that my parents do. Things like not calling someone when they're about to leave the house. I find myself doing that as well nowadays. Whenever I'm about to leave the house and someone asks me where I'm going, I stop, turn around, sit down in the house again. And it's whether it's part of just nurture of years and years of seeing it in action, but also remember the fact that I rebelled against it back in the day. It's very interesting to see how we also adopt these things, right? Because to me, it's more of just like while I don't believe in it, it doesn't hurt me to do this, right?
Yeah, I completely agree. There are some things as well that have held on for me from when I was little. It's not sleeping with your feet pointed towards the door, you know, making sure there are no mirrors near your bed, things like that. It doesn't hurt to practice, right? but I guess it raised the question for me of how a name can actually change things, you know, major things about your working persona, perhaps, right? Because you know, a surprise to the whole of the Klang Valley, Lin Mark is not on my IC. In fact, my name is switched around, right? So my name is Mark Lin. I don't have that Chinese middle name because normally Chinese names have three. But I got questions about this from every single teacher and friend I ever had in school. So when it came time to go to university and into the working world, it was just easier to switch it around because now people assume that Lin is an English name and I don't get questions. And it's wonderful. I only answer these questions to friends, you know, and I don't really mind. It is a little bit of an unusual situation, but it's not every single person that sees my name on a sheet.
Yeah, it is very interesting how names play into things. Because I know, especially in the Punjabi community, you have all sorts of nicknames that are very far removed from the actual name.
Yes, like I've heard this. House names, right?
His name can be Bobby, but his actual name is Parminder or something like that. But it's the way, the way they grew up. And then the nickname just is so entrenched in the way things work, right? And it happens in my family as well. I never knew a lot of, on the Punjabi side of my family, I never knew a lot of the real names of my aunts because we all called them by nicknames until I was probably in my late teens.
I attended a wedding once and another guest at the wedding asked me, do you know this person? And I went, who? What? And clearly this other person looked at me like I was mad because then if you don't know the bride, why are you at her wedding? And it turned out that this person was using the bride's house name and I'd never heard it before.
Yeah, I think this all goes to show like the different things that we do, the rituals, the superstitions, whether ingrained in culture or otherwise, that we do to either keep us feeling safe or giving us a little bit of our own different kind of walled garden or even to give us a fresh start, right? These are all the different things that we do. It's really interesting actually to have conversations with people who are really strict about these things.
So participate in this conversation and let us know what you think about this. WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And in honor of this conversation about superstitions, here is Stevie Wonder with Superstition, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Gone With The Wind Is My Love by Rita and the Tiaras, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Roshan Kanisan. Now we are turning our attention to what's been happening in international news this morning. And of course, what's a day of international news coverage without talking about the US, right? Apparently, the Electoral College has begun casting some votes that may cement the victory of President-elect Joe Biden in the US.
Yep, presidential electors in all 50 states and the nation's capital were casting their votes on Monday. And that thing is going on right now as we speak to officially elect Joe Biden as the next president of the US. And though a lot of people consider this a formality that will officially conclude the 2020 election, there has been a spate of lawsuits. Yeah, I'm just going to go with lawsuits. I'm not trying to be clever about that. Lawsuits trying to challenge the results, right? And most recently, we saw the lawsuit from a few attorney generals, including the one from Texas, about the result of the U.S. election itself that was thrown out by the Supreme Court for being unconstitutional. So, there are many expectations here that the president will address the U.S. nation after, and is essentially some of the excerpts here, and this is from The Guardian that I've got, say that he's going to be trying to basically call for everyone to unite and heal, right?
Moving forward. When you say the president is going to address, are we talking about Joe Biden or Donald Trump?
Biden. Okay. Sorry. The president-elect, soon to be president, right? But yes, the president-elect. Thanks for checking that my information.
I thought that you said that Trump was going to address the nation. And I was like, what's he going to say?
I mean, he could. Who knows? But
Trump
it seems
calling
that,
for unity of the people
yeah,
is a bit of a,
so that's what
a bit
got
of a stretch.
You.
Yeah, that's what got me, exactly.
Right. So apparently Joe Biden has already gotten the votes from Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Arizona. And with those electoral college votes officially tabulated or officially in the record, that ends Donald Trump's long shot attempts to overturn the results, right? It's done because these were the key states. Because with that, I think the projection of 306, if I remember, electoral college votes for Biden are pretty much solidified because those are some of the key states right there. The fact that Biden won Georgia and Arizona are massive coups on the Democrats' parts, right? Pennsylvania is a massive state, and Wisconsin also. These were the four important states to clinch. And It's done. The Electoral College has voted followed what the states voted for and has completed the voting process here.
Yeah. I mean, the Electoral College is largely a formality, but every once in a while you get concerns about rogue electors and then that's a bit of an issue. But it appears that in this case, Joe Biden is going to be getting all of the Electoral College votes that he won during the election. And it appears that barring a few, perhaps, Georgia runoffs, in January, we may see an inauguration and a new page for the U.S.
Yes, something to keep an eye on is the fact that Hawaii will be the last state to start its meeting. And that's about 7 p.m. ET, which is about 8 a.m. Malaysia time, if I've got that right. Or is it 6 a.m. Malaysia time? Either one, plus minus 1 hour, I think.
It should be 8 a.m.
Right? It's 8 a.m. Yes.
Malaysia time. I think. Time zones are always a little bit difficult.
Yeah, because of daylight savings.
Correct.
Now. But I'm pretty sure it's 8. Joe Biden is expected to give his speech at 7:30 p.m. ET, which is, unless both Lynn and I are mistaken, 8:30 a.m. Malaysian time.
But of course, the other new page that the U.S. is turning is the fact that the first COVID-19 vaccinations have started as the country gears up for its largest ever immunization campaign. So a New York nurse was among the first health workers given the jab, and she's quoted as saying, "I feel like healing is coming," because the U.S. has had a very, very tough time of it with the COVID-19 pandemic. On Monday, the U.S. death toll topped 300,000, and at the same time, 150 hospitals around the country were set to receive millions of vials of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. So their vaccination program aims to reach 100 million people by April.
Yeah, the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine received emergency use authorization just at the end of last week, I think, very, very recently. And this is part of that rollout that we're seeing. The numbers aren't great when you look at the U.S., Lynn. Mm-hmm. The number you quoted just now, 300,000 deaths, that was the death toll yesterday on Monday for them. Not great. So let's see how this plays out in the U.S. But when we talk about the vaccine rollout, closer to home, Singapore has approved Pfizer's COVID vaccine and expects the first shots by the end of the year.
Yeah, so that's something that we're going to be watching quite closely as well. Everyone's looking to see which vaccine makes its way to their shores first. You can WhatsApp us to let us know your thoughts, 01878898899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages coming up for you, and then we're going to be looking at our own local papers and portals. But first, here is All Right with Jamiroquai, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Roshan. 6:49 in the morning, Tuesday the 15th of December, and we've got a bunch of papers and portals in front of us this morning. But first, some breaking news that happened as we were speaking just now.
Yes, Lynn, as we were speaking, the Electoral College has confirmed Joe Biden's win as president-elect for the United States. So expect him to be, if you weren't already expecting him to be sworn in, that will be happening on January 20th. And at the same time, we've also got news that Attorney General William Barr has resigned as well, the Attorney General, and that will take effect December 23rd. So he's going on a little bit of a Christmas break.
He is indeed a nice Merry Christmas present to, I guess, Donald Trump.
Yes, and now, to our own papers and portals and all the exciting news that we have.
I know, because we do have a lot of exciting political news, because yesterday, I believe, there was a press conference between Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad and as well as Tengku Razali Hamzah. That was an interesting situation. I think it's in it's on the front page of the Malaysian Reserve this morning, isn't it, Roshan?
It is. It's on the front page of the Malaysian Reserve, sort of on the front page of the Star, although they're going with the final hurdle headline. So basically today is the last day of the budget vote, right? And that's why I think everyone's basically, if we could cue like final countdown after this, I think that would be perfect for this. So right now on the Star's front page, final hurdle, budget 2021 is being tabled for the third reading today, and it will be the opposition's last bid to derail it. However, political analysts say that this, even if they succeed, there is likely not to be a change in government. And then that relates to the press conference we saw from the two most senior politicians we have in the country, actually, that they're basically hinting to that this will be make or break, and that we could see the government fall today, whatever that means at this point.
Yeah.
They talked about, I watched bits and pieces of it. That wasn't really a cohesive, it was a lot of teasing, I think. That's what Tun Dr. Mahathir was doing. He talked about how Malaysia were Asian tigers once upon a time and things need to be done, things need to be boosted into the future and things like that. But some of the key lines here was there is a possibility that the government might lose today, and there are talks about what could happen there. And I think him and Tunku Razali sitting together is meant to just like as an act of symbolism, right? Because he's meeting with another former rival for a lot of things, a former enemy, for lack of a better word, as well there. So it's interesting to see. It'll be also interesting to see how his former enemy, former deputy turned enemy turned ally for the Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim will be also reacting, because they haven't talked, right? And they've confirmed the statement that they have not talked at all about this. And so
that was
we'll see.
A very convoluted sentence, but I guess reflective of an extremely convoluted relationship between these two men.
I think convoluted is a perfect word to explain the relationship between the two men, as you mentioned, Lynn, but also the state of politics over the last 20 years, especially,
true,
actually, forget the last 20 years, in the last 2 years. But yes, so there is a lot of talk around how the opposition will vote today and whether what will happen thereafter.
Yes, and in fact, I think BFM's news team was also at the press conference yesterday, and they were providing updates on the news Twitter, which you can find at newsBFM. And one of the quotes that they highlighted was the fact that Mahathir ended the press conference by saying that if he gets the support of everybody, I will be PM tomorrow. You know, he clearly has not given up his prime minister intentions.
Hint, hint, wink, wink to unity government. Who knows what's going on?
Is he going to be PM for a third time? I think that would certainly be a record setting. Anyway, we do have some other things in the papers as well this morning, although a lot of the NST as well this morning is also their front page is Third Act. So this is talking about the final budget vote that we're going to see this morning, but also the fact that Top Glove's Klang Hostel EMCO has been lifted, coupled with the fact that another glove maker, major glove maker, Hartha Lega, has said that 35 of their employees have tested positive for COVID-19.
And Lynn, you've got a breakfast grill that's kind of related to this, actually. You're speaking to the Rubber Gloves Association.
Yes, I am. So I'm speaking with the Malaysian Rubber Glove Manufacturers Association this morning on the breakfast grill later on at about 8 o'clock. And I'll be speaking with its president, Dr. Subramaniam Shamugam. And we're going to be talking about some of these labour issues, as well as the windfall tax that the glove industry just so very nearly dodged, and all of that and more later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin.
Yeah, and I think before we wrap up this conversation, I just want to highlight page 4 of the Malaysian Reserve. They've got quite a good article on online scams. The headline here is Online Scams Do Not Talk to Strangers. And I think it's a great roundup for the year of the different types of scams that we've seen pop up, whether it's a Macau scam or social media scams, job scams, online money lending scams as well. But you've also got something called the BigPay scam. And it's not related to BigPay directly, but essentially, I was getting calls on WhatsApp from someone pretending to be BigPay. So these are all the different things that are happening on the scam front this year. And we've seen that acceleration. I think it's especially when the MCO hit and the pandemic first hit, because there was a lot of either people, the two reasons you have that people fall for scams are either fear or greed, right? And when you're trying to clean something, those are some of the main reasons, and I've discussed on the BFM webinars or on Ring and Sense. So if you can get a copy of this page 4 article, I think they'll put it online at some point. It's a really good read, I think.
Yeah, I think because this is, during this year, a lot of people have had to turn online and, overcome that hurdle of inputting credit cards and utilizing e-commerce platforms. So unfortunately, it has also come with a rise in these incidences of scams. It's unfortunate. And ultimately, if you are unsure, call your banking service provider yourself or call the police if need be. Do have a listen as well to the conversations that you've had on Ringgit and Sense. Roshan, what was that called?
Just search for scams on Ringgit and Sense and you'll find something there.
All right. Okay. But right now we are about to head into the 7 o'clock news bulletin, and after that, more business news and analysis. But first, some music. The Doctor by Doobie Brothers, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.